little bit more than mid screen, pop them up, shield slash, pop them up again, shield slash, charge star.
Welcome back to the Shot of Games podcast, episode 126. I am Jesse. We also have
Mimi
and
Wayne.
Unfortunately, our co-host Fidel will not be able to make it this podcast, which may or may not be a good thing, depending if you like his voice or not.
He's too busy watching the Blue Angels flying over his work.
Yeah, which I gotta admit, that is a pretty good reason.
Yeah,
except I don't think you want to watch planes get that close, which makes you a little nervous.
It does. It does. My whole job is to keep planes apart. I'd rather not see them get dangerously close to each other.
There we go.
Anyway, the games we've been playing, I just picked up Smash for the 3DS, and I've been playing that on and off today, sporadically. Unfortunately, you know, life duties kind of call, and can't really put them off too long. But I fought twice to unlock Ganondorf, as you guys know, has already been an announced unlockable character. And I fought him twice now, and he's beaten me twice. I should probably try to unlock him on a little easier difficulty, since he is very, very hard.
What difficulty are you playing on?
It depends. I mean, I can go, if I'm just playing regular Smash, I can go anywhere between 7 and 9 on all three opponents, free-for-all. Or, since I was playing Classic mode, going all the way up to Master Hand, Crazy Hand kind of thing, I was playing that on difficulty 7, and that's a pretty hard difficulty. And
wow.
Ganondorf at level 7, he's very hard because he's very, very powerful. But yeah, I've been playing Smash and Final Fantasy 14 every now and again. And other than that, not too much going on with me. How about you guys?
Nothing really for me. Yesterday we were at Disneyland.
We were.
Which is nice. Kind of takes up for some of our gaming time, but it was pretty awesome. Part of the perks of living in Southern California is Disneyland is kind of in our backyard, so it's a little more attainable to get to.
If you call an hour away, your backyard.
An hour's not too bad.
It's not bad.
That's you know, we've taken longer getting into Hawaii, in downtown Hawaii, than
getting
to Disneyland. So, but we're not going to talk about that. If you guys haven't had a chance to make it to Disneyland in the last few years, a couple of things have changed, of course. More related to our geeky podcast is
Tomorrowland.
In Tomorrowland, that big round building that I can't remember the name of right now.
You think it's just called Tomorrowland?
No, it's not. Tomorrowland is the entire land.
Okay.
Yeah, how dare you?
I'm a New Yorker. I don't know.
How dare you?
I don't know any of this.
Anyways, World of Tomorrow, that's what the building is called.
Oh, goodness.
The World of Tomorrow. They have pretty much taken a section of the top floor.
Actually, all of the top floor.
Mm-hmm. Well, part of it's still there, the stuff that was there before, like that.
Well, they've got the Xbox 360s and Xbox One, because it is sponsored by Microsoft.
Yeah,
so.
And some of the little virtual consoles.
Yeah, so they have the 360 and the Xbox One. They still have that section, but it's mostly all Marvel stuff that's on those game systems. They have they have the Infinity.
It's either the Marvel games or Disney games, pretty much.
Yeah.
But going back to the Marvel topic, they've added three exhibitions. They have the Iron Man Hall of Armor, which is narrated by Jarvis himself. It's pretty cool stuff. You get to virtually try on the Iron Suit.
Hmm.
And they have replicas, full-on replicas of the different
Mark suits. Mark, from the original Mark 1, when he was in the cave in the Middle East, all the way up to the modern current Mark 42 that he's used in Iron Man 3 and was in production for the Avengers.
Which is pretty cool. After that, then you have Thor. They have the throne room from Thor. Not to go too much detail in it, because I kind of want to keep a little bit of element of surprise if you do get to go there. It's just a pretty surreal experience. It is Disneyland, so, you know, they go all out and make sure you experience what's going on. That's, you know, walking through, oh, hey, the character that you can meet. They definitely give you an experience for that. As well as store, they also have Captain America. You can meet and greet with Captain America, which is pretty awesome. I'm really hoping that as the Marvel and Avengers universe carried on a little bit further, they'll take over more of that floor/ building. We'll see a lot more of that. It's kind of funny though, because we were actually talking to people around the park and they had no idea that there was Marvel in that building.
Yeah, it's not something that's really announced. I mean, unless you walk by the building, you'll see the banners that they have, like the traditional kind of Captain America, like 1940s propaganda poster style banner. And this is Captain America on it, and then you have Thor shows a picture of, well, Thor with his hammer, and then you have the Avengers Assemble banner. So other than that, there's really no marketing for that area. So it's kind of hidden away. Yeah, it's like a hidden treasure kind of thing.
It's hidden treasure.
Cool. Nice.
It's pretty cool, pretty sweet, and as always, Disneyland always fun. But again, the day ends, we move on back to real life.
And I heard this morning over in California Adventures, some people got stuck on the Ferris wheel.
Hey, we heard about that too.
Yeah, we were there. We weren't on the thing.
Ferris wheel, because there wasn't really, you know.
I know you guys were jumping over it.
We were hopping back and forth.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know about you, but it was about 98 degrees up there, and I don't feel like sitting in a tin can in the middle of the sun. I don't see that.
That'd be very bad.
That's rough.
Feel bad for all those people that were roasting those cans yesterday, but I'm sure Disney took care of you.
Oh, yeah. Disney's always been good at taking care of people, so.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
Yeah, what about you, Wayne? What you been playing?
For myself, doing the typical kind of gaming, you know, your Avengers Alliance, a new Special Ops 21 just started, which has got some pretty cool stuff going on with the Savage Lands. So I've been trying to get through there and trying to unlock different characters I can on that. Get the new Lockbox Hero King. He's a Lockbox Hero, so that'll be cool to play him once I get him. It can be difficult to get him, though. That group boss is just torture. Almost can't beat him. Or can't damage him, as to say that. Other than that, a little bit more on Transformers Legends, although I'm kind of not doing a whole lot on that game, mostly focusing on G.I. Joe Battlegrounds on the Android, a little bit of Doctor Who. But primarily, what I've been playing the most this last week is Forza Horizon 2, which has just been blowing me away. The graphics are great, the audio is perfect, good mix of sound, music, the lighting effects and the weather aspects of it actually just work out perfect. It's a really, really polished, well done game, which of course, you know, they've always been doing a great job on these games, you know, Forza 5, the first Horizon, but Horizon 2 actually is my favorite of the Forza series, because you can drive all around, it's open road, and you get to do things like race against a plane, or jets or trains, other vehicles, off-road, on-road, whatever. It's pretty sweet. So I'm still working on doing that, getting leveled up and getting through the courses there. The weather system is epic, because you'll be running through it and all of a sudden you get into a thunderstorm or rainstorm and you got to compensate for the rain. Just a beautiful, fun racing experience.
Very nice.
That's good. Alright.
Well, going on to Android real quick, the revival of the Battle Cats.
We've talked about this game before. You've heard about it before from us if you've been following for a while. I believe it was Jorge who mentioned it last time. But Battle Cats had basically, I wouldn't say they dropped support on it necessarily, but they ported it back to the Japanese version, which kind of turned a lot of people off because then you couldn't read anything that was going on.
Yeah.
It kind of takes away from some of the experience, but from what I gather, they kind of revived it back earlier in the summer. We just found out about it now. It's one of the top games to download right now on Google, which is how we ran into it.
Mm. It's actually right on page one.
Yep, it's on page one right now.
Yeah, Android App Store.
Yep, it's definitely one of those really great time killers. It is a free-to-play, of course, as any mobile game. There are things that you can purchase in-game. But you get a pretty good experience without having to purchase anything.
Yep, that's good. If you've played the original version and then stopped playing, kind of like I have and Mimi has, and you pick it back up with this newer version, it is a newer version. The mechanics are the same, the idea is the same, and the cats are basically the same, but they updated the game a lot. So you're no longer basically only fighting within Japan, which is how the first game was. Now you're conquering pretty much the world
and
the moon and beyond. So they've expanded the horizons quite a bit, and they've increased some of the difficulties and changed the balance of the game just a little bit to make it a little bit more user friendly. But they have exclusive capsules now, which is a good aspect. You get one ticket per day every time you log in, and you use that, and it opens up a silver capsule. and inside is something, either an a free upgrade for either your accounting or your cash or something, okay. or one of your cats, and it'll automatically upgrade them for free. Or you can change it out for experience and put it towards something else.
Nice.
And then, of course, you have the option to use your cat food, which you can purchase in-app with a credit card or just have it billed directly to your account, and then buy what's called a golden capsule ticket. And you open that, and it's usually a rare cat that you can't find anywhere else in the game or something of the sort. So with the revival of the battle cats, it was a good time killer. I usually do that. And then Line has some pretty good games. If you're familiar with the Line service, it's like a mobile messenger service, mainly for Android and Apple. Doesn't quite work with Windows Phone, as I'm sure Wayne can attest to. But yeah, they have a lot of games on there too as well that are pretty fun to play if you're into the
pretty
whole
good time killers and stuff like that.
Yeah,
that's coming up. That's pretty good. And you know, I guess while we're talking about mobile games, one of my favorite bands, Avenged Sevenfold, has a full mobile game coming out very soon. I believe it comes out sometime around the 15th. I don't remember the exact day. I want to say it's the 16th. And it's pretty cool. It's basically, I believe it was an MMO style.
Yeah, not quite an MMO, but it's MMO-ish. But
everyone's making a pretty big deal about it. A lot of the different video game review sites and everything have kind of been on that.
Yeah.
So, that's pretty cool. And then, I guess while we're talking about Android apps and stuff like that, as we were talking about Disney earlier, Disney usually takes care of people. They kind of dropped the ball on someone.
Yeah, well that goes with...
It's a business.
It's a business. Yeah. You know, it's a business decision. Disney did decide to pull the Star Wars game from the App Store. They didn't really warn any of the developers or the player that they were going to be dropping the game, so that's a little, you know, boo hiss for some people.
Yeah. But, you know what? Sometimes it kind of happens that way. Both Tiny Death Star and Star Wars Assault Team, they completely discontinued service and no longer available for download on any of the app stores, whether it's Apple, Android, whatever, or what have you. So, yeah, it's kind of a disappointment for a lot of people.
It's a bit of a surprise, but at the same time, I don't know, it was kind of a niche game. I really couldn't get into it.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't even played it at all, so it doesn't really strike me too bad.
So more kind of, not really Disney related, but it is Marvel related. So this past weekend, I don't know if any of you guys have heard about it before, but previously they were talking about how with the new Original Sin series and everything like that, a lot of people were getting different facelifts and stuff. One of the most controversial / talked about ones was Thor.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, so...
If you didn't know what happened, or if you didn't know what the whole issue was, is that, as stated on the hammer that I can't pronounce... What does the hammer say?
Mjolnir. And on it says, he who wields this hammer, if he deem worthy, shall possess the power of Thor.
Yeah.
Or something of that sort.
Something to that effect. And it happens to be that this time that the person deemed worthy by Mjolnir... happened to be a female.
Yes, so with this new female, she has become Thor. Now, a lot of people are kind of angry at the fact that it is a female and not a male. But at the same time, people are kind of saying, why is it, you know, Femme Thor, Female Thor? When in reality, it's not. It's just Thor. So Thor is, yes, it's a name.
But it's also kind of a title, like the
it's
Highlander.
It's a title, exactly. Kind of how Odin Allfather, he is the Allfather. So that is his title. So Thor, at this point, has now been more of a title now. And is now known as Thor, Goddess of Thunder.
Yeah.
To being, you know, having her own comic that just came out the first issue came out this past week.
Yeah.
Making her first appearance.
In a video game.
Yeah, we're also getting a Devil Dinosaur on the game, too.
Oh, very nice.
So that's the other character we're going to come out here pretty soon.
Yeah, so she'll be up in the game coming up later in October. Don't exactly know when yet, but you can... check out some details on it if you just use your mighty friend Google. I'm sure you'll be able to find some information, including some pictures of the new Thor.
Yeah, there's plenty of artwork out there.
Yep. But the game that is coming, or the game that they're coming to, is the Marvel Puzzle Quest, which has already been available for about a year now, and they're celebrating the one-year anniversary this October. So, yeah, so that's something. Progressing. Let's strike onto Nintendo. With the reveal of, or I'm sorry, not with reveal, the release of the 3DS version of Super Smash Bros. For the 3DS. Nintendo's gone off to officially announce the unlockables for Ness, Falco, and Wario. That's what it was.
Yeah.
So Ness, Falco, and Wario, they've officially been deemed the unlockables so far for the Wii U version. I'm sure Common Sense would, you know, state the unlockables for the 3DS version would be the same unlockables for the Wii U version, unless they're trying to pull some fast one on us, which that would surprise me.
It happens, yeah.
But there's a whole larger list of unlockables, and I'm not going to spoil it for anybody. But there are some characters that they have not released a reveal trailer for, among the 3DS version or the Wii U version, and there are some pretty far fetched characters. I'm not going to lie, it's very unexpected.
Oh yeah,
but not to say that I'm upset about it in the least. In fact, I'm actually very surprised at how they decided to progress and how they went to go about it.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to seeing how this progresses.
Yeah. This is actually kind of interesting here. Actually, we have a modder who went out and basically took a GameCube controller and adapted it to the 3DS.
That takes some skills.
I mean, if you heard about when the... Sorry, I just mic'd out again.
When Smash Brothers for 3DS... Sorry, I'll pick up on you. Okay. No worries. When Smash Brothers for 3DS first released in Japan, a month ago almost? Just under a month ago. It seemed that the craftsmanship of the 3DS was starting to come into question, because the circle pad pads were coming off. They were breaking off of the 3DSs. So a lot of people were starting to question the craftsmanship and the durability of the 3DS, and whether or not Nintendo had actually planned on the 3DS supporting a Super Smash Brothers from when they first started development of the 3DS. So they've been questioning about that.
It's still a pretty rare question to ask Nintendo, because they're pretty notorious for the durability of their products.
Yeah, with their, you know, crafting of Nintendium, as they're...
Yeah, so the
comes to known.
The modder here who goes online by the handle Deku Nukem, so you got a video out on YouTube. You can look into it if you want to try doing this yourself. Be warned though, this is a major operation for you, major surgery on your 3DS, because you're going to be taking it apart. You're going to be doing some soldering work. You're wiring wires, and you'll leave a circuit board exposed on the back.
Yeah. I don't know about you guys, but I'd rather not leave just random wires and electrical circuits and everything just exposed.
It is a remarkable thing there, but
I mean, it looks great.
Yeah.
Aside from the fact that the whole thing is just right there in the open, but if you are familiar with the GameCube controller, and prefer the GameCube controller with the Wii U version of Smash Brothers, they are going to be releasing the bundle with the adapter and the GameCube controller for Smash Brothers
on the Wii U.
So until that hits stores, you have this or you just use the 3DS as it was meant to be used, which is how I'm doing it right now. It seems to be okay.
Just be mindful of your device. If you feel it's starting to crack under the pressure, maybe you should dial it down a bit.
There's no reason to slam your control stick to one direction try and do a smash.
Be cautious of your gameplay.
Use some finesse.
Use some finesse. The 3DS is not built for button mashers, so
you shouldn't
be mashing anyways.
Yeah, so be careful. Staying on the Wii U. The Wii U update offers some system-wide tweaks and folder options.
You need to download that.
So the new patch offers a refreshed layout and improvements to the quick start menu. Which I didn't see a problem with the Wii U menu to begin with, but I guess, you know, some organization doesn't hurt.
Yeah, it's going to improve over time. I mean, everybody does that with their systems.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the original, you know, 360 and what it ended up, you know, with now. So.
Yeah.
True.
Huge.
You guys think Smash Brothers is going to supposedly, you know, revive sales on Nintendo?
It'll help.
I didn't think there was anything wrong with the sales on Nintendo anyway.
With a slow start.
They are struggling a little bit, but it's not really bad.
No.
It's not as bad as Xbox One in Japan.
Yeah, that was a whole nother issue in itself with Microsoft and Japan.
Yeah, so you'll be able to better organize and arrange your software. You've got a download management icon now that'll be on the home screen. You can more direct access to your download queue.
Which is good, because I'm tired of having to go back to the App Store or the Nintendo eShop to see what kind of active downloads I have.
Yeah. You get a tweaked quick startup menu. You know, some recent additions to the operating system that allow you to jump into games and applications moments from booting the console, bypassing the Miiverse and homepage.
Yeah, which was actually one of the previous updates where your gamepad itself, even with the Wii U on standby, the gamepad itself would receive updates and you would just turn on the gamepad without turning on the Wii U. And you could see what updates and what such have already been downloaded to your Wii U, as well as choose what games you want to start playing. And then you just select that. Your Wii U will start up, and immediately after booting, won't even go to the main menu, will just start up your game.
Yep.
So, I mean, that was a great addition. I love that.
I've actually tend to play more of my games on the gamepad than I do on the TV.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Yeah, I know.
I do the same thing. I mean, I think the gamepad is a brilliant, brilliant part of the Wii U.
Yeah, definitely.
Which comes into the controversy. Some people are saying, you know, they could do more with the gamepad, and others are saying that the gamepad is irrelevant, because everything that's on the gamepad can be on the TV screen.
True.
So
there's definitely some room to improve upon it, but it's a great controller and device as it is. So.
Absolutely, absolutely. If you guys didn't know, it actually uses the Earth's magnetic field for geo-positioning.
Yeah.
So that's something I've never heard of before. That's actually pretty intense.
Yeah, very few devices will do that, actually.
Yeah. So, we have some other news now.
Who likes pinball? I like pinball.
I could definitely do some pinball. What about you?
Yeah, I guess. I'm not very good at it.
So,
I'm very good at a lot of things.
So Zen Studios, who has the very popular Pinball FX2 on the Xbox 360, Xbox One, PC, they also put out Zen Pinball 2 on the PS4, PS3, Vita, and the Wii U. They are getting ready to release two new tables that are South Park themed, coming to later this month.
Now, unfortunately, there's not really much on the tables at this point.
Yeah, they don't give us too many. They don't give us any details, but.
But if you go to the Zen blog, you could see some images, including one, of course, is the very grim fate of our beloved Kenny. But that's come to be expected.
Yeah, I'm guessing he's going to get splattered by a pinball.
At least some point in time, or you know, take a pinball to the face.
I mean, they've given us some great tables in the last several months here, including a Walking Dead pinball table, the Marvel tables, Deadpool. I mean, there's some amazing tables they've got out there on Pinball FX especially.
I feel like Zen Pinball has been around since the beginning of time.
it seems like it, but
it's been around for a while.
I don't remember when they started. Either way.
Yeah. Are you playing Battle Cats?
No.
Uh-oh.
Battle Cats.
Yeah.
All right. So, Battlefield 4. If you guys are Battlefield 4 players, you have a massive update that's about to roll out soon. Let's see here. Can't really find too much on the update.
A lot of bugs are being kicked out of it. You've got changes such as introduction of team play initiative, tweaks a handful of things about games so the players are encouraged to seek objectives instead of just playing as a lone wolf. I play as a lone wolf anyways. find a good spot and just snipe, you know. Other big changes such as you'll find in the area of player movements, you'll find that player movement is almost identical to that of Battlefield 3 versus the slight issues we've had in the Battlefield 4.
This sounds more like stability.
Mostly, yeah.
And then the improved netcode, which is another thing. So, I know it's definitely happened to me, especially on Battlefield 4. I would go running. I know I'm under heavy fire. I go running, duck behind something, and I'm like, I finally made it. I'm safe. Please. And I'm still dead.
Yeah.
And I, like, you know, very unpleasant words start flying very, very loud within the household. With the improved netcode, you'll see fewer instances of the unfair kills such as that.
Yeah.
It's a good thing that they're still doing updates, even though the game's been out for quite a while.
Oh, yeah. That's something.
Always a good thing to see. We're seeing that a lot more with different companies now.
Yeah, that's something that DICE has usually been good about. Just, you know, general updates.
And obviously part of the patch here is to, obviously, in the bottom end of the code is to prepare for the Final Stand DLC, which is going to be the final expansion coming later this year.
Yep. And then they're also starting to prepare and ramp up marketing for Battlefield Hardline.
Yep.
Which has a very, very Rainbow Six feel to it.
Much different, yeah.
So it's not quite as much of a actual war battlefield.
It's cops versus rubbers.
Yeah, pretty much. It's
I played the beta and I wasn't really impressed, but you know,
a lot of people weren't actually, but some people are still holding out some hope for it because they enjoy the Rainbow Six series. It's very, very similar.
Yeah.
So it's got pretty much the same feel to it.
You know, pretty much.
Kind of like a Spec Ops SWAT team.
Maybe they'll do a CSI DLC at some point. Could blend that in there, right?
Oh, maybe. Let's head on over to Microsoft.
So, Halo Nightfall. Obviously, we've got that one coming along here with Ridley Scott. Basically, Microsoft has come forward and given us a little bit more clarity on this as to what he's doing as executive producer, because he's not, you know, directing or anything. See, what was it here?
Did you have a brain fart or something?
Some of that, yeah.
It's the weather, this heat wave that we're stuck in right now.
It's actually pretty warm right now, and it's pretty late at night. It's almost 8 p.m., so...
Yeah, so Nightfall is actually being directed by Sergio Mimica Gazin, who has directed episodes of Battlestar Galactica, Heroes, Falling Skies, etc., etc. He carries up, you know, Ridley comes as a big stake, gets input on things. Basically, he's kind of like overseeing things to help out with how things are working out, helping him with little decisions and so forth, from what I understand here. And then Scott's production company is actually apparently responsible for Nightfall, so.
Anyway. I guess you Halo fans are pretty excited to hear about that.
Yeah, so Nightfall's coming out later this year. It'll be, right alongside the Master Chief Collection, so.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
Well, with TV spots, you have movie spots as well.
Yeah.
You have some movies here that are, come from familiar grounds, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
You have Tetris. Tetris is being made into a sci-fi epic movie.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how that's going to work out, but at the same time, they managed to make a battleship movie pretty interesting.
Well, it depends. I mean, some people liked it, some people didn't.
It was a hit or a miss. With the Tetris movie, strange. From what I understand, the Tetris pieces are going to be aliens. The extraterrestrial beings, which makes me wonder, is this a Space Invaders movie?
I think a Space Invaders movie would be more interesting.
It might be.
Tetris.
It could be. But then again, would these dumb aliens be Russian?
I don't know.
Maybe it's, you know, there's a lot they could do with it. Maybe this is, you know, the Russian space center, blah, 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 whatever they do up in space.
I mean, think about it. I mean, the aliens, they try to invade Earth, but they accidentally line themselves up and destroy themselves. I don't know how that's going to work.
Yeah, they're not very good with that. They always seem to, like, you know...
Well, it is going to have an intergalactic significance. That's pretty much all we really know. I kind of expect they're going to try to... I don't know, it's really hard to see, to think how they could make this into a movie. Obviously, you're going to have, you know, some kind of alien life form, you know, in progress here. But they could even take it as far as trying to blend it in with some of the things they've done with Tron. So it's really going to be a unique thing. But they have told us we're not going to see a bunch of lines running around the page.
I don't know. I might.
They're not going to give feet.
A bunch of lines blindly bumping into each other, and they accidentally line up and disappear.
That would be a good comedic relief.
Yeah, they're not going to give geometric shapes feet. So maybe the geometric shapes will be the ammo we use to destroy these aliens.
Oh, kind of how the pegs were the things that the aliens use against us in Battleship.
I know, right?
I don't know, I still... Well,
they might reveal some more news at Kamikaze, since there is going to be the 30th anniversary. I know the game's been out longer than 30 years.
Absolutely, the game's been out for
whatever
ages.
Whatever it's been out for, since they're going to be trying to break that world record of human Tetris, and is also celebrating the anniversary of Tetris.
Maybe. Maybe that's what the movie's about.
Maybe.
Oh. But this is being put together by Threshold Entertainment with the Tetris company. No actors, directors have been signed of yet. But yeah, they're just claiming it's going to be a very big, epic sci-fi movie based on the script.
Consider me a skeptic, man.
I know, right?
I'm not feeling the Tetris movie.
Yeah.
But this, I might be feeling this one. Dead Rising. They're begin casting a Dead Rising movie that's apparently supposed to feel more like Indiana Jones with zombies.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you guys are familiar, you have director Zap Lipovsky. He said he's going to be skipping theatrical releases, which means the film won't be a watered-down action movie, and probably won't be starring Tom Cruise. But, like I said, probably. He tends to sneak his way into several movies.
I don't know how he does it.
I don't know either. Dude's like a wizard or something. I don't know. But,
yeah, so Legendary Pictures is on board here.
Which have been doing some pretty good stuff with some movies lately.
Yeah, and Lipovsky there has actually, you might know him from Leprechaun Origins. So, give you an idea what kind of work he can do.
Yep. So, you guys keep your eye out for the Dead Rising movie, which doesn't exactly have a release date yet, nor does it have a cash yet. But it has been announced that it is in works.
Yeah.
But so is this. Now, this actually has casting. If you guys are familiar with the company Rovio, who took the app markets by storm with their release of Angry Birds some years back.
Yeah.
They have begun casting voices for their Angry Birds movie. And some of the voice casting includes the Game of Thrones and Saturday Night Live veterans.
Yeah.
So some Game of Thrones fans might recognize some of the voices here. And including we have Jason Sudeikis, Josh Gad, Danny McBride, Bill Hader, Maya Rudolph,
yeah,
and Peter Dinklage. And they've all been confirmed for the Angry Birds movie, which is supposed to be it's an animated movie set to be released in 2016.
I don't know what I'd do if it was a live action movie.
That'd be creepy.
Yeah,
that'd be
so
very creepy. That'd be really nightmare fodder right there.
So Jason Sudeikis, he's actually going to be playing the lead character, a bird named Red, who has a temper problem,
which obviously is a red bird.
Yep. You've got Josh Gad, he's going to be playing the Speedy Chuck.
Yep. Danny McBride, he's the...
Vault of Bomb.
Oh, yes. I can see him as a bomb.
Yeah.
Bill Hader.
He's a pig.
He plays one of the pigs. You guys might know him from Saturday Night Live and Superbad. Maya Rudolph. Going to be playing someone named Matilda.
Yeah.
Which I'm assuming has got to be someone in relation to these birds.
And Peter Dinklage plays the Mighty Eagle.
Ooh. It's just kind of funny.
Someone's got a sense of humor. But you got some supporting cast. And the roles have not been specified yet, but some of the supporting cast that's been casted right now is Keegan-Michael Key from Key & Peele. Kate McKinnon from Saturday Night Live, Tony Hale from Arrested Development, Ian Barinholtz from Neighbors, Hannibal Burris for Broad City, Cristela Alonso from Cristela, Jillian Bell from 22 Jump Street, Danielle Brooks, Orange is the New Black, Romeo Santos from Latin music, he's, well, a Latin music singer, not from a Latin music singer, and Ian Andre Hickox and Anthony Padilla, mainly just from YouTube.
Yeah. Interesting.
Which makes you wonder, what's the target audience? Obviously, the little kids are going to eat it up because the Angry Birds are the game that they can play, so they all kind of relate to it, I guess. But looking at this cast, this is definitely trying to play it up to the parents that, that are going to be dragged there.
Yeah. Well, it's being written by John Vitti. You might know him for writing the episode of The Simpsons entitled Mr. Plow.
Hmm.
So that's intriguing.
Interesting.
Anytime you get a Simpsons writer, a setup for some kind of comedy.
Yeah.
And looking at some of the pictures for the movie so far, I guess they have some release pictures here, and it shows Red, Chuck, and the Bomb.
Yeah.
That's actually, I kind of like how they did the character design. It's actually not that bad.
Not bad at all.
I mean, they took some creative freedoms with the design, so they don't look like just a ball, a triangle, and a giant ball.
Or just a giant bird.
Exactly. So they actually they actually took some time, went for some development, but it looks like it's going to be an interesting movie. I might have to go check it out.
Yeah, it's going to be distributed by Sony Pictures, animated movie veterans Fergal Riley of Spider-Man 2, the Iron Giant, and Clay
Kiedis from Wreck-It Ralph Entangled
are attached to a direct, so very intriguing.
Sounds like this is going to be some movie I might have to go see.
Speaking of movies that we didn't know we want, did you know there was going to be a Grumpy Cat movie?
Yes.
I knew I didn't want that movie.
But Grumpy Cat herself is being voiced by Audrey Plaza.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys might know her from Parks and Recreation.
Yeah.
And Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
It's going to be pretty interesting. I mean, I guess...
I don't know what to expect.
If I wanted a Grumpy Cat movie, I guess I would want her to be
a Grumpy
Cat. I don't
expect much.
Is it going to be another Garfield?
I hope not. We don't talk about Garfield.
I know.
They made more than one live action movie.
They disappointed me many times on that one.
Yeah.
It's not that hard of a story to get right.
Yeah.
Oh well.
Well, say Wayne, how's your operating system going?
Well, we're still updating here, but we're actually in the process of moving one of my machines to the technical preview of Windows 10. That's right, Windows 10. We're skipping Windows 9.
Which is kind of, interesting. We were talking about it. Like, wait, where's 9?
Yeah, that was one of the questions we asked straight away. I was like, well, what happened to 9? You just decided to just skip a number now? Like, timeline, number line doesn't matter anymore?
But well,
7, 8, 9. So, you're funny. Face the corner and think about what you did.
So, Microsoft's been listening to people, and they're trying to make sure that the next version of Windows is going to be the best there is, and it's going to be well-received and easy to use for everybody. I personally like the new Metro, start menu, start screen. They're actually going to be getting rid of this in Windows 10 for most devices. It may be there still for some devices like your tablets and so forth, but for the most part, it's going to be gone. We are going to get the start menu back as it is right now. It'll have a kind of mixture between Windows 10 or Windows 8 and Windows 7. So you'll have kind of that. You'll still have the Metro apps and so forth. They'll work more like your traditional applications, though, so you won't have to be full screen necessarily just to run them.
I see there's a pretty significant change between previous Windows and Windows 10.
Yeah.
So
it is. It's being basically worked from the ground up. This is something.
This isn't the first time they've done that.
No. I mean, they always try to do the best they can. Windows 7 was basically built off of Vista. Windows 8 was entirely new development. But, the other big changes we're going to see is you're going to have the same code across all devices, whether it's your PC, your tablet, your phone, your Xbox One. All going to be the same.
The same coding.
Same coding, too.
It's as you said, it's common code base.
Yeah, so you got the same app store.
Yep.
For each device. And, of course, the interface will be tailored to work with each device. So, it'll be very interesting to see how it all plans out. I can't wait to start playing with it soon.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, this is going to be, as they've stated, this is going to be their last major Windows release. So, instead of releasing updates years and years apart, they're going to be doing small updates and small releases and such like that to Windows 10. So it seems like as of right now they skipped 9 because they just wanted to go with 10 and just call it a day. They said Windows 10 is gonna be our final update, so we're just gonna leave it at 10.
And there's lots of reasons for that, for going with a with 10 versus 9 and so forth. And I'm sure you can come up with your own ideas on why that was happening there. But one thing that Joe Belfiore, Windows executive, actually has come forward and said is that, and I quote, "We want all these Windows 7 users to have the sentiment that yesterday they were driving a first-generation Prius. And now, with Windows 10, it's like we got them a Tesla." So, I mean, he's got some big ambitions here.
Oh, yeah, 789.
What are you doing out of your corner? Go back to your corner.
So yeah, definitely gonna be fun. The so you can download the technical preview right now from Microsoft. Of course, go to insider.windows.com. Just make sure you do it on a secondary PC because again, it's a
total rewrite. Rewrite. Yeah.
So don't expect things to work perfect.
Yeah, and some of our final order of business for this podcast is PlayStation TV.
Woo!
So PlayStation TV set to debut October 14th at the surprisingly low $99.99.
Yeah.
Considering what the PlayStation TV can do, that's a fairly decent price.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, the technology is along the same line if you're used to the Apple TV and then, you know, Google Chromecast.
Pretty much,
like that.
Yeah.
Some, you know, along the same lines. Some of the cool things, though, is the remote play.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you have a PS4, this could be your greatest friend. You got your remote play with your PS4, and you could stream a huge range of PS4 games from the PS4 system to your PlayStation TV via remote play.
Yeah.
And that could be over a local Wi-Fi or a wired connection. So that's interesting, as well as the fact that you are going to be able to play directly off your PlayStation TV a multitude of PSP and PS Vita games.
Yep.
Right to your TV screen. So that's pretty
deal.
Huge.
Yeah, that's a big deal. Huge.
They ported pretty much almost their entire PSP collection, PSP library, over to the PlayStation TV. So this might be something we're going to have to look into.
Definitely. I mean, because you know a lot of people were getting pretty angry when the Vita came out, how they weren't porting all the PSP games. And originally they were going to have the online library where you could upload your PSP games to it, the PSN.
Yeah, well, that didn't work out so well.
That didn't work out too well when they decided not to do it here in the U.S. And then people kind of got all...
Yeah, I still have a lot of my PSP games. But I have to look back into the PSTV, PlayStation TV a little bit more. I'm not sure if it'll have a... highly doubt just by looking at the design of it. I don't think it's going to have a slot for your UMDs if you have your PSP games. So I don't think you'll be able to play your PSP games that you have physical copies of. However, you can still play your...
You can download them.
Your favorite titles. Download it right to the PlayStation TV. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, is there anything else we wanted to add?
Hey, first season 4, Korra, episode 1 came out today.
Oh, yes. And I'm pretty upset about that. I really wish that was...
It kind of sucked because, you know, usually the past three seasons, the past of Korra, and, you know, the previous season, the Avatar The Last Airbender, anytime they did a season premiere, they usually did back-to-back episodes and they can get a nice little fill beforehand. Yeah. Unfortunately, this
not
time
this
around,
time.
Nope.
They released one episode and said, suffer. And I'm pretty mad about that first episode. I really want more.
It was not enough.
Yeah.
It was not enough.
Not at all. Well,
that's pretty much it. We've got
this week. Obviously, you'll be joining us next week. We'll have a podcast. Hopefully, the entire team will be here. If not, we are having our NES Hell coming up pretty soon.
Yeah.
Have that listed up on our Facebook banner. NES Hell is going to be played on the Wii U.
Yep, we're going to be playing NES Remix 1 and 2. And
which,
then,
if you haven't played yet, are... Would you say they're rather difficult?
Well, they could be.
Some
of them could be. Some of them are fairly easy. A little too easy for my taste, but other ones have significantly satisfied my craving for a difficult NES challenge. So, definitely satisfied that. Some of them are a little bit too much.
Yeah. But, if you guys have any Wii U games or any virtual console games you'd like to see us attempt to run through... shoot us a text, shoot us a message, shoot us something.
Yeah.
Just
get a hold of us somehow.
Yeah.
And if there's something that you would like to see in general off of the Two Shots of Geek websites, Facebook page, anything, Twitter, we're on all of them. Shoot us a message. Let us know what you would like us to see, or would you like to see from us. And you know, we're more than willing to try and oblige. Just don't ask me to play through Five Nights at Freddy's.
Ooh.
Because I've already done it.
All right. Yep. As usual deal. Find us on Facebook. Like us. Share us. Tweet us. I normally, Fidel would say Instagram us, but Instagram is kind of just there.
Yeah, it's a dying thing. I know,
well,
it
it's dying.
Very long.
It's not really dying, but it's not beneficial to us because
with Snapchat, it's kind of going away. Instagram, because with Snapchat,
I wouldn't say no. Instagram's really picked up with bloggers now.
I mean, it's as much as Pinterest is.
Well, Pinterest, you can set Pinterest on fire.
Okay.
Anyway, so we have our NES Hell game night coming up. That's going to be our live cast for the month. We did do one previously this past weekend, but slight technical difficulties because I don't think you guys want to sit around watching us play Monopoly for 4 hours while Wayne kicks all of our butts and runs all bankrupt.
Yeah, not quite so much. I had you on the ropes, though. I had you on the ropes for a little bit.
Almost.
So hopefully,
but then Fidel decided to just give you all of his property.
Yeah. Shut up and take my property. Yep, so we definitely got that going on, and then right after that, we'll be preparing to head out to Kamikaze at the end of the month. It'll be super interesting. You definitely guys want to stay tuned. We got some surprises for you.
I think so.
A little bit of trick or treat, right?
Yeah, so.
Perhaps.
Keep your eyes peeled. With that, this has been the Two Shots of Geek.
Episode
126.
Six. What is the show called?
It's the Shot of
Games,
podcast.
Shot of Games.
This is what Fidel does. He's more used to this than I am. What? Tune in next week for the next Shot of Games podcast.
Hopefully, it won't be as hot and we won't be as tired and cranky.
And kind of.
I need food.
You do. You've been left to scavenge and fend for yourself.
Apparently so.
All right.
I'm like a wild bear.
Yeah. Just go find that raccoon. He can help you.
All right. See you next week, guys. See what I did there?